Look at a servant's heart. Mark chapter 10, verses 35 through 45 is where we'll be at. And, you know, this morning we looked at who can be saved. And, you know, and when you stop and think about it, it's in and of ourselves. No one can be saved. But because of Jesus, anyone can be saved. And God's made that. And once we're saved, then we're to have that servant's heart. And we're going to see Jesus and his disciples having a discussion and some of the hearts that went along with that and what Jesus finally has to say. So let's pray one more time. We did have another praise real quick, as we did have some of the cookies delivered this past Saturday. So I made some contacts out there. But there are plenty more to be delivered. So if you'd like to do that, please, between now and Saturday, get with me and we'll get those delivered to the peoples around. So the praise and prayer on that. But Father, we thank you for the time to look into your word. And I do want to take a moment and lift up Lincoln to you as he's battling eczema, it's flared up. And God, I just pray you touch his little body and bring healing. And Lord, the pain, the itching, the fire that feels like it's raging across the body with eczema. God, I ask that you would touch him. Thank you for little Lincoln. Bless him. And Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for how you teach us. And Lord, we ask that tonight, that you would speak to us. Hide me behind the cross, Lord, that you might be heard and give you glory. Amen. All right, and I'll try and hope this voice hangs out. Mark chapter 10, verse 35 is where we'll begin. Mark writes, and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come to him, saying, Master, we would that thou should do us for whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit, one on thy right hand, and the other on thy left hand, in thy glory. But Jesus said unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can you drink the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on my right hand and on my left hand is not mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared. And when the ten heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and said unto them, Ye know that they which are counted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you, but whosoever be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. It's interesting that James and John are the guys that come up to Jesus and have this request. And these are guys, the sons of Zebedee, known as the sons of thunder. It wasn't because these two guys were very peaceful fellas. They were rambunctious. They were rough and tough. And so it's interesting they come up to Jesus and desire for Jesus to grant their desire. In one of the Gospels, it's mentioned that their mother comes up, and then the guys jump in on it and say, yeah, that's what we want. But they do have a request, a desire to make of Jesus, and Jesus entertains the thought for a moment. He wants to hear what these guys have to say. And again, you know, Jesus never does anything without a purpose. And I believe, just as he did with the rich young ruler as he was asking these questions, that he's getting the heart of the issue to come out. He's getting to the heart of the issue, not so so that the guys can hear what they're saying and so that they can understand the lesson that's about to be taught. So Jesus entertains the thought. And he asked them, what is their request? Of course, John and James, they desire to sit on either side of Jesus in glory. Well, wouldn't Jesus be sitting on the throne? And these two guys were looking for a position of authority and power to be equal with Jesus sitting next on the throne. And I guess that would be kind of nice. They were thinking, hey, there were 12 of these guys, the disciples, and there needed to be someone that would be over all the other guys. So, man, it'd be pretty cool if it was, us two. I mean, who else is tougher than James and John and can handle the situation? And so they felt it good to ask. Jesus, we want to be on your right hand and left hand. We don't care which side, that's what we want. Now, interesting enough, this was a selfish request. They were worried about their own desire, not the desire of anyone else, not even the well-being of their group. They were more concerned with themselves. It was a request for authority. Not only want power, authority and power to have rule over others, to be seen equal and rule and reign with Jesus. Well, Jesus gives a response. He doesn't immediately shut them down, but he poses them a question in return. Can you drink of the cup that I drink and be baptized with the baptism that I'll be baptized with? And both of these refer to death. The cup referred to the blood, and baptism itself refers to death. And he was asking these guys if they could partake in the same things that he was going to partake in. And I don't know that James and John fully knew the weight of it all, but they answered yes. Thank you, brother. I had one going, but I'll need a second one for sure. So let me grab this one here. And that train just fell out. Oh, baptism and death. they didn't fully understand what they were saying yes to, but they also understood that being as they were some of the roughest and tough ones, they were willing to stand with Jesus no matter what. How much did they count the cost? I don't know. But we know that as we look through their lives, there's probably two of the ones that stood up the most for Jesus and the most vocal were these two guys. Well, just for a little while with James, because we know he loses his head, right? Herodias, in an effort to strike out against Christians, takes the head of James. And John, indeed, was going to also suffer persecution as he would be put on the Isle of Patmos to live out his life there. Fox's Book of Martyr talks of the different ways that John was, they attempted to martyr John or kill John, including being boiled in oil, amongst other things. Oh, y'all, excuse me. So indeed, these two guys would definitely drink of the cup that Jesus drank of, and be baptized with the baptism that Jesus was baptized with. And he tells them, you indeed will do this. And Jesus, in as much as he was God, knew that this was to come in their life, though he did not tell them what would take place. And when they responded, we can, they responded in a way that was much more than they ever knew. Acts chapter 12, 1 and 2 is where it talks of James being martyred. And then when John was exiled in the Isle of Patmos is where he penned the book of Revelation. James and John would indeed stand for Christ amidst much persecution. In a zeal to promote Jesus and the gospel, it cost them both their life. So while their request was kind of far out there with the selfish desire of power and authority, they had a walk to kind of back that. He said, well, should we have that desire as long as we have the walk to back that? Well, the answer to that is no, and we'll see that Jesus did point out that this is not the attitude I want you to have. But it is to note that if you're going to take a stand similar to such, be ready for it to cost. So the other 10 guys hear what's going on, and they get upset. That's right, they would. If I was had a group of people I was with and all of a sudden I heard that two of them was trying to raise up to take over control, well, I would be a little upset too. That's just my jealous, selfish nature as well. And we find that flowing within the other disciples. They were upset with James and John. They would ask of such a thing of Jesus. So Jesus is quick to shut down the turmoil as he calls them around in as plain a fashion as Jesus could. He expressed that it wasn't his will that such a battle for position and jealousy should be amongst the 12. Jesus describes to them how that the Gentiles behave in this manner, how that the Gentiles, or especially the Romans, have people in authority, and they're those that are rule and reign over others. And in that, those that rule and reign are sitting in the high seat. They seem to have all the good come their way. Then you have the middle class, and then you have the low class, and it all always seems to fall down on the low class, where trouble is at, where where turmoil reigns. And Jesus was pointing out that when you have this mentality, that nothing good comes out from it. He said, but rather, the mentality that I would have you to have is that you'd be servant one to another. He said, amongst the disciples, he which would be greatest should be a minister to others, and he which desired to be chief should be a servant of all. He was telling them, you don't need to be like the Gentiles. Don't have that kind of mindset. If you truly want the mindset of the kingdom of God, then you need to be servant to one another. If you really truly want to be the highest among you, then you need to be the most abased among you. You need to put yourself in service to the others rather than try to put yourself in lordship and dictatorship over others. You know, we see that so much today as there's a battle for power everywhere. Not only in the world, but you can see a battle for power in the churches. You can see a battle for power in the convention. We see that amongst the SBC. There's battles for powers. He who's in power has, well, thinks they have everything under control. But as we know, there's only one who has control, Amen. And that's God. And it doesn't stop the selfishness of man to try to seek out power. But to truly have the heart of God, he said, minister to others. You want to be servant of all, chief of all, you need to be servant of all. Even of himself, Jesus expressed that he came not to be ministered unto, but to be a minister and give his life a ransom for many. And you can imagine as Jesus was hearing this quarrel, and in his mind he could easily say, if there's anybody here that can rule over anyone, it's me. That was not his ministry at that point in time. He's coming back, and there'll be a time where he'll rule and reign as Jesus Christ, the King. But he came the first time in an effort to minister unto people, in an effort to give his life for others. And he's calling for us. We can liken ourselves unto the disciples. He's calling us to minister to others, to give our lives for others. You know, sometimes it's hard to give your life for someone else. And I don't necessarily mean physically as far as dying for someone else, but to esteem others better than you, to look out and see needs and minister to that person's needs when it's going to take from you. And that's tough. But if we're going to have the mindset of God, then we're going to have the mindset that Jesus is teaching, and we're truly going to be a servant of all, then we have to minister. There is no other option to give our lives for the sake of others. So here's the take tonight, short and sweet. To desire a seat in heaven requires great sacrifice on earth. It's God's prerogative to grant or not to grant position. We see that when Jesus said, it's not of me to grant you either side. Whoever those seats are for, God has ordained it. God's prerogative who sets up and who's not set up. But here's the Christian's responsibility. That's to be a servant. To be least upon the earth, to esteem others above ourselves. It's not an easy thing to do, to look out at someone, and especially if you know their lifestyle and it's horrible and they're not making right choices and they're living in sin, and to look out and say, that person's better than I am. It's not so much about looking at that, it's about saying, that person needs Jesus too. And if they're going to see Jesus, then I need to be Jesus in their life. They need to see Jesus through me. and need to see his love through the love that I can give. And that's the hard part. Loving someone who's unworthy. Loving someone that doesn't put themselves out there to be loved. Loving someone that doesn't even love themselves. But if we stop and think about it, how were we before Jesus saved us? Amen. Did we fit any of those same descriptions? Were we unlovely? Were the things about us people didn't like? But yet somebody told us about Jesus. And by God's mercy and his grace, we were saved. To be least upon the earth and esteem others above ourselves. How about the enemy? You mentioned earlier about praying for Israel and Palestine. How about those that are attacking Israel? Those who took kids out into the street and brutally murdered them, tormented and tortured. How do you love someone like that? Only through Christ. Only through Christ. You see, are you willing that someone like that gets saved? God is. God's not willing that any should perish, and that's included. If that war was to really stop and if they would all come to know Christ as their Savior, there'd be no more conflict. Everything would be settled out the way God would want it to be. We know that's not the way things are prophesied to end. But that's an ending that could be. It just won't be. We know there's an enemy. But God still sent his son to die for the wicked one. And he still made available salvation to the wicked one. And I say wicked one, I mean wicked person, not Satan and any of his henchmen. It's available to them. They just won't receive. Does that mean we're not to have a heart of compassion? Does that mean that we'd have a heart of hatred because they won't receive? No, not if we're to have the servant's heart. For the sake of Christ, to give our life to reaching others, that's part of the servant's heart. We got to be reaching out to others. We got to be letting them know that whatever the cost may be. Usually it's just a little bit of time. Let's take the cookies, for example. It's just a little bit of time to go to somebody's house and drop them off, and maybe you get a chance to share the gospel. Maybe not. Maybe you're one of those who'll be shy and you'll hand a bag and you'll be like, I'm glad they weren't home and I could just leave that on the doorknob. That happens. But maybe you're going to reach somebody's life and pray with them that needs prayer. And maybe you're going to reach someone that needs Jesus. What's it going to cost you some time? It might cost you getting over a little bit of pride. It might cost you getting over a little bit of selfishness to say that this other person's life is more important than mine. That's what Jesus is trying to tell his disciples. Stop worrying about all the power struggle. There's people out there that need to hear the message that lives are more important. Be a servant to them. Seek them out and reach them. Minister to all to help others, whether it's convenient or not. Or to be a minister to all. Sometimes that means going to the streets, finding a homeless person, giving them something to eat. It's being a minister, meeting them where they're at. You know, it's probably not a big chance that you're going to lead them to Christ right away. But as you invest in the people's lives, cultivate the ground, as someone preached not too long ago. It builds an opportunity to reach them for Christ. And that was one of the wonderful things that the Lord allowed me to do with Carol. And it was in a short time. I was amazed at how short it is, and it was purely only God, but he just kept putting on my heart to talk to him and talk to him and talk to him. Not push him. Invest some time into him. And I had to be honest, there wasn't a whole lot of time invested. God did all the work. He was ripe and ready. He just needed someone to tell him and lead him. There's a lot of people that way that are ripe and ready, and they're just waiting for one of us to go tell them. There's others that need to be told more and more so that they'll be ripe and ready for when somebody else is coming to tell them, whoever God's got determined to lead them to Christ. But if we don't do our part, we're going to miss out an opportunity, and they may miss out on heaven. To seek out and to gain power and authority on earth is to be the least in the kingdom of God. For gaining worldly position generally takes one's time and efforts away from the kingdom work. You know, there's nothing wrong for a Christian to sit in a high place of authority or position on here on earth. But the higher position you're in, the more demanding on your time it is. And you would have to be really good at being able to balance the demand that the world has on your life versus the demand that you need to tell others about Christ and to be doing God's kingdom work. And so it's not a bad thing to seek out and desire a good position here on earth, but keep in mind that it may come at a cost. It may cost you the work that you're doing for God. It may cost you your family in the wrong way. It may cost you your relationship with God. So to seek out power and authority here on earth is not what we should be seeking. And if God desires that we get that, then praise the Lord. But our desire should be to His kingdom and to reach others. God is to be set first and supreme in our life. As He mentioned, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. You know, earlier or this morning at the end of that passage there, Jesus said the same thing in verse 31 when He talked to Peter, or when Peter said that they had given all, Jesus reminded them there, but then many of that are first shall be last, and the last first. And it seems to be a mindset that Jesus was trying to teach His people, is that if we truly want to be great in the kingdom, then we must humble ourselves and consider ourselves last here on earth. And that's the true heart that He'd have the servant to have, to put others before ourselves. And it's not easy in the flesh. And if we rely on the flesh to try to do that, you'll never accomplish it. But if you rely on the Holy Spirit, He'll give you the leading, the direction, and the strength to be able to do all that He's called you to do.